You are listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference, right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Many of us have a dream of swapping the noisy, expensive city streets for a quiet piece of land somewhere. You know what I'm talking about, right? And you want a place where you can live at one with nature. You live sustainably. You live able to grow your own food and connect deeper with God's creation. But while country living sounds peaceful, the financial transition can be an absolute minefield, especially if you're not prepared for it. Now, from hidden infrastructure costs to the real return on investment on a backyard garden, we're going to be looking at the hard numbers behind a homestead. And we want to talk about both the financial balance sheets and the personal triumphs of making this leap. We're talking about sustainable living as we help your sense make sense this morning. And joining us is our guest, Sam Pokonse. So good morning to you and welcome, Dan.
Good morning, my elder. How are you?
No, we're doing all right. Thank you. And yourself?
No, I'm doing good. Just a cold morning.
It is a bit chilly, eh?
Yeah.
Hey, and here we were thinking winter is done. We were thinking winter is over. It's like, hey, my friends,
no.
I'm still here.
We'll thrive through.
Yeah, but we pray that you're doing all right, though, nonetheless.
Blessings.
Amen. Blessings. Amen. Thank you once again for joining us this morning as we look at this very needed conversation, looking at the sustainable living and its costs behind the scenes right now. Many people, like we said earlier on, only dream of having a place outside the city, right? But the financial reality can be daunting. What was the exact tipping point that made you, your family, realize that country living was the viable financial move for your family, rather than just a lifestyle dream that you say, hey, one day?
Thank you for the question. Mm-hmm. Financial viability was not what had us initially or primarily, you know, to make a decision in moving to the countryside.
Okay.
However, as soon as we moved, we experienced that tipping point when compared to what we were spending in the city with what, with that same money, could build or rather do in the countryside. Mm. You know, in the city, most of our income will disappear into, of course, transportation, utilities, food, or housing.
Yeah.
Without taking anything lasting. Well, in the country, land gives us the opportunity to grow food, farm certain food, and herbs for other commercial purposes, which we sell. We use solar energy compared to Eskom electricity, and gradually it becomes even more self-sufficient.
Okay.
Just to add on. So we also find that in the country, you know, money that are actually spent, you know, for certain things, activities, it will be more of an investment than a loss, right?
Okay.
Money that are spent on irrigation equipment or they reduce household expenses and potentially generate income. And so once we saw that we could start gradually, you know, we continue earning from the seed that has been planted. So
yeah,
you spend to receive, you know. So gradually that's how it is. We spend to receive. You know, we don't spend to lose.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, You make it sound so rosy, you know, guys, this is an investment. And whenever you spend, you're going to get some benefit out of that and you will reap later on. But surely there are some things that you're like, okay, we got here and we didn't really know about this thing here, which is a bit more of a cost, and we might need to have prepared a bit better for it. What are some of those bigger hidden costs or something that you had to do up front before you started reaping, like you're saying, the benefits thereof, that people sometimes forget when you move to a homestead space? I mean, talk to us about that. Yeah.
You know, just from what you just said, just to add on, they say that the quickest way to become poor is to be a farmer.
Okay.
but with patience and endurance, you'll eventually get to where you want to desire to be, you know. So the biggest cost people often underestimate are not necessarily the house or the land, but everything required to make the property functional.
Okay.
Like the water infrastructure, it can be expensive.
You have to set it up yourself.
If you attain a virgin land or land that has no property, land that has no boreholes installed. So things like borehole drillings can be expensive. Pumps can be expensive. Tanks can be expensive.
Yeah.
Those are costs that are there. Irrigation. And the electricity also, you know, because it depends of whether the property you would have gotten, you know, farm that you would have gotten, whether is it on Eskom electricity, you have to pay for the rental of the transformer in certain municipalities without having used the electricity. You pay a monthly rental for the transformer, which goes around 3,000 rand. you know, that's what made us to opt for to go off the grid and just decide on solar.
Okay.
So the solar itself, the attainment, of the solar system can be expensive also, but this would be a once-off purchase.
Okay.
That's one thing you need to consider, you know, rather than incremental payments, you know, to Eskom electricity also. Fencing also, these are some of the hidden costs that people never take in cognizance. Security is very essential, whereas you need to fence your land. Access to roads, if you decide to have your homestead in the mountains, you know, where there's fewer people, fewer farmers, where it's just gravel roads, you know, you need to deal with accessing, you know, your homestead, drainage, you know, such things that you may need to pay attention to.
Okay.
Cause let's say if you acquire land from the previous owner, you may find that the drainage system was not well taken care of. Okay. And you need to take cognizance of some of these things. Storage facilities, you know, you need to take in cognizance of such. So there are hidden costs, I must put, and it becomes way difficult if you don't have a sustainable income every month or like a salary every month. Mm-hmm. And if you had decided to say, hey, we're quitting our job, then we're going for country living, those spontaneous moves, it will become difficult.
Yes.
Well, in the Bible sense, you find that people, you know, like Abraham, Isaac, you know, they will attain some certain income from Egypt, because every time they'll come out of Egypt, they would have attained, you know, the riches to sustain them in the wilderness. So it's just a principle that don't just make a spontaneous move without having a mindset of how you're going to live or survive in the countryside.
No, without a doubt, no, certainly. And I want to second that one as well with another question to say, you know, it's one thing to then note, okay, I need to maybe be prepared some way, somehow, in terms of maybe a financial buffer so that I expect these unexpected things you're raising. But I think there's also other mistakes that farmers do or homesteaders, right? Maybe you're not really going for the farm, but just to be for the benefits of being at a homestead, a place outside the city, sustainable living and so forth. What are some of those most common mistakes that they do now when they, especially their first year, that they could have said, I wish I had done it this other way, my money would have lasted much longer than it did?
Yes, the intentions will be right. Well, just to relate to our experience, our intentions were basically character development, than any other thing. Going to your first question, of course, that it wasn't about financial viability, which came secondarily or as a benefit. Intentions are always correct. Spontaneous movements, they will hit hard along the road, along the way. Hence, having said that, the biggest mistake is having no capital for the operation or no budget, to make the farm functional and to be aligned to the investment, mainly meaning that the land working for you. and if you are there, it's tenfold harder. It's tenfold harder. Most especially that it's never sure. that you will get your return, especially if you're into crop farming. There's so many inevitable things that may happen. Any mistake, in your crop farming, you'd have to wait for another 3 or 4 months again, to get the results. So anything, nature can just turn against you, you find drought and so all those things. So to depend fully 100% to say, hey, this land is going to work for me, chances may not be, for the first or second or the third year. It will require patience. It will require, you being intentional and highly, highly, highly motivational. And hence I will say that if you are to move to the countryside, at least, let it be, continue with the work, maybe to be remotely, I'm not saying that, for some people it works well, the first year they already have a plan, that being put to action and they work, fully on that plan without any employment, and it works for others, but for others, they will need to at least start from a remote work and still or run another passive income business, whereas they'll be able to have, sustainability. For some, it becomes easier when they find tools, when they find tools already there, at least, they know that, okay, we'll be putting these tools into work or operations. Otherwise, that the attainment, purchase of tools are expensive as well, taking that into cognition. So the biggest mistake is having no capital the first year.
Yeah, make sure you've got enough capital for that first year. Otherwise, it will fail before you even go anywhere. And then people then hate the whole thing. Hey, homesteading doesn't work. You just didn't.
I know several families who have done that and they went back to the city. And it can be beautiful. It can be beautiful, trust me. And it can be a yoke if you don't have a plan.
Certainly. I mean, maybe it's testimony time, right? From your own experience, if you can talk to us about maybe how you handled it. What was maybe that costly mistake or the premature investment that you did right in the early days? And if you could undo, what would that be?
All right. Well, my experience, okay, the early days, our first move was rental, which was just right outside the outskirts of Joburg. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a center running in the city.
Okay.
So at least, but it did not work well with the rental. This would be more in a communal farm setup, So the landlords will always often, increase the cost of electricity and all those things. That was the only reason. Okay. But it will work well if you are working in full time as an employee, to not be far from your employment. At least you can do your day to day routine. Still being in the outskirts, it helps with character. So the only thing that continued us to further look and propelled us actually. Before, prior then, in the rental, what propelled us was that we cannot have our child living in the city, you know, to be influenced by the city. And that's when my wife was actually pregnant, and we said, we can't raise our child here in the city. Let's just find something from the outskirts, you know. So from then onwards, you know, some, you know, from the experience that we had with the landlords, we had to move back, you know, into one of the apartments in the cities, you know, but this will not be like a busy city or so. This will be like in Randfontein, a small town, you know, but we still continued looking. And the biggest mistake, I'll say that in the looking, we had identified a farm, but this was with a partnership with another family, you know. That was the biggest mistake ever, you know, because you never know if people are in the Lord or not, you know. On the far fetch, you know, you think that, yeah, these people are strong in faith, they're strong in the Lord, but the partnership did not really work at all. And we, that time, in staying that farm, we had invested a lot, and we had to move out, and we had lost a lot, I must say. So in partnership, partnering with other families, one also need to come with terms and agreements on how they'll work, and things need to be signed. Things need to be signed. Don't just move in good faith. You know, you may be disappointed along the way. So that was our biggest mistake. In partnering in good faith and knowing that we are brothers in the Lord, but not everyone is a brother in the Lord, I must say.
Things happen and things change, right? And sometimes maybe they didn't even have an intention to do that. But as
the intention was good.
The circumstances change, and priorities differ. And then, yeah, like you're saying,
definitely.
One is left with the short
different governances also.
You're left with the short end of the stick. That is so, so true. Looking at this experience you've shared and maybe other experiences that you've now garnered over the years as you are in a homestead, what would you say you can, as you reflect back maybe to city life, what expense can you say we've tracked and we've noticed the biggest decrease over? And maybe which one can you say, no, now that we're here, we've also seen now an increase on this expense. So that we don't just say, no, as you go to the homestead, everything is hunky-dory, guys, no expenses.
You know, having said that, we moved from, we had to cut down, you know, from Eskom electricity and moving to off-grid, solar power. If not solar power, we use other sources of energy. For the geyser, we use donkey geyser, you know, where we cut wood and utilize the geyser. I can't really explain it, but this will be like a metallic container, and we put wood underneath to fire up the water inside, to warm it up, which can last up to 2 days.
You can actually take a shower with that geyser.
We can. Actually, we also have an outdoor shower, hot water and so forth. We sometimes cook from outside, you know, to save up. If we don't have a certain means to buy gas and all those things, you know, because there are days where the solar power will not be sufficient enough, you know, let's utilize, you know, the natural energy. Water is free, you know, we don't pay for water, you know, we just take water, clean water. You know, food is accessible. Food is accessible from, of course, from the labor of our hands. So we'll go and visit Joburg once a month to go get some of the things that we need, foods that we need. But in a nutshell, 70% food is from the garden. What else? You know, we don't spend much in schooling for our child. You know, we homeschool, you know, so So the mother is the teacher, you know, who gets the salary herself, you know.
Okay.
who must get the income. So it is not as much as the conventional schooling, you know, where you have to pay enormous amounts of money, you know. So looking back, I must say that, all these things don't come easy, by the way.
I can imagine. But by
adapting, you know, I learned a lot to guide and lead to eventually get into the world of the ball rolling.
Fascinating. And then on the expenses side, is there something that has now shot up that you're like, you, all right, we didn't have this expense when we were in the city?
Cost increase mainly on maintenance. More especially if you have a huge farm, you know. But if you had like 1 hectare of land, I believe maintenance costs will be very less. Remember, it also depends on what you're going to do in the homestead. So if you are to use your homestead as a generating income stream, you know, the maintenance costs will be huge. In our case, this cost of maintaining the land itself, the garden itself, you know, cause in itself, we cater, we host camps, we host events, we host seminars, you know, so the we got like a huge amount of grass, you know, green grass, you know, the cutting of the grass is almost, you know, if you need to cut the fuel cost of extending there. Hiring of labor sometimes, you know, maintenance costs can be very, very hard. You know, we are in winter now. You know, the solar power is not as strong enough. The gas, given that we just had a new baby, you know, we have to, you know, heat house needs to be up on, you know, the gas itself, gas expenditure of gas can be very, quite deep, you know. So, but well, for other homestead farmers, I know that they created their own, they make up their own gas, you know, using natural resources, which work well for them, you know. So the good thing about being in a homestead, it gives you an opportune time to, you know, to dig deep and expand your mind, you know, in innovative thinking. You know, okay, fine. How are we going to do this? How are we going to? It's not about I can't do it, but, you know, you challenge yourself. That's an opportune time to challenge yourself and to come out of your own weaknesses. You always work. There's no time for holiday, by the way. It's not like India living, you know, well, it's beautiful, but trust me, but there's no time for thinking that, hey, I'm on holiday.
You're always working.
But hence it says it's a work of character. Okay. Your patience will be tested there. You know,
You know, I wanted us to draw to the close, and I'm just thinking here, maybe just balance as maybe just a quick one to say, people talk about growing their own food and they make it sound like it's such a positive thing. And I know there is that human capital that's needed in terms of labor and so forth. But let's talk about the breaking even, to say when you grow your own food, how long does it take for the garden to spill over to now benefit the home beyond if you're just saying, you know what, it's actually going to just cost us $100 to go to the shop and buy this thing rather than, you know, buying the seed, watering it, putting whatever necessary manures and whatnot is necessary there. And then after 3 months, like you said earlier on, then you now start eating this thing. And then you're going to now start to consider, okay, wait a minute, I only needed 2 for the breakfast, but now I have 50 of them. Now I must find a way to make sure I preserve the rest so that it can last me the month. And like you're saying, it's winter, so some of the things are not growing. Talk to us about how long it takes before the garden is now better than going to the shop.
All right. Planning is key. Planning is key before planting. That is very, very crucial. You know, and knowing what you'll be planting in each season is very, very critical. The failure is just to plant anything that goes in any season. that's the it's waste, you know. It's a real waste, and planting largely without having no clients or customers who buy the bulk of what you planted, you know. Fine, it's good when you plant for subsistently, you know, that will food that will, as a family, you'll eat from, and some of them you can the food,
okay.
You know, that's a beautiful way. But it shouldn't take you long. 3 to 4 months should give you a good return. You know, whenever you've planted, you know, and don't wait. I'll say don't wait till you moved to a farm or village, you know, in order to start planting.
Okay.
You can plant wherever you are, even in the cities, even in your apartment,
yes.
You know, just get containers and put them in your window, in your window panel, window what, you know, what do you call it? Balcony. Thank you. You know, just put your stuff there, you know, and that's where training should come. You know, you start small wherever you are. You don't need to have land in order to plant, you know, you know, so such trainings, it will equip you, you know, for further bigger land, you know, if you want to move to a bigger homestead or a farm or so forth. You know, so it should take you a very short period. I will always give it 3 to 4 months in order to get the return. You know, in the winter, you know, there's summer crops, there's winter crops, you know, learn to differentiate of what you plant. You can't expect to be planting tomatoes in winter. You can't expect to be planting watermelons in winter. You know, fruit crops are not expected on winter. In winter, it should be leafy greens, you know, just to give a crash course.
Okay. All right.
Just leafy greens, you know, but in summer, that's where you can be, you can plant varieties, you know, be it eggplant, be it your zucchini, tomatoes, and all those, food crops that you like, you know. Yeah. So essentially, it should take it, but for fruit trees, so in closing this, for fruit trees, as soon as you move to your home state, the first thing that you need to do, plant fruit trees, you know. Don't wait for following years in order before you start. You know, that's the first thing you need to do, plant your fruit trees. That will be an investment that for which you will get a good yield in the next 3 or 4 years, you know, depending on the fruit tree also, you know, and depending on the methods applied. We utilize the LMG White method of planting. Mm-hmm. You know, go and search about it. Maybe in our next case scenario, we'll talk about fruit trees. You know, yeah, but it works well, whereas if you plant, you know, you get way good returns. In a year and a month, you actually bear some fruit from the tree itself, actually. You don't need to be waiting 3 years, actually, in utilizing conventional methods.
Wonderful stuff. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Butsem, and may God bless you for the wisdom, the lessons you've shared
thank
with
you
us,
for
and for taking the leap with God there to go out into the country. And I'm quite positive that this has become so rewarding beyond the cost saved, the value it has added to your family as well. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Amen. God bless the listeners and the program itself.
Thank you so much, my brother. God bless you. Bye-bye. That is our elder brother, Sam Bokonzi, speaking to us on the sustainable living that is available for those who are choosing homesteading, right? It's a bit costly sometimes to set up. You need to be financially stable, especially for that first year. But he's saying the rewards, my goodness, nothing compares.
You are listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference, right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.